every Arizona homeowner's best friend.
And it all has to do with you.
Thanks for tuning in.
It's Rosie on the House, your weekend wake-up tradition.
I talk to the tree, stop and hear what I say.
Come all around back, Arizona. It is the second Saturday of the month here in this beautiful March day, 14th, and we've got ISA certified arborist John Eisenhower in studio talking trees. And I bet you there ain't a tree complaining out there this week. Man, what a nice watering.
Yeah, it's amazing. It makes me feel good.
You can,
it must make them feel the trees.
You can
feel good.
Water by the numbers, you can do it textbook perfect, but there's nothing that overcomes the natural rain cycle.
Yeah, they're loving it. This is just what we need, you know, and it's nice to have this week after week after week of this seasonal rain, because it's just going to be make for a really good, healthy year. Those trees that start storing those water reserves and start putting on new leaf material as a result of the rains are just going to be better equipped to be able to handle the hot weather that's coming around the corner. They're not going to be as liable to all the pest and disease issues that stress trees struggle with as we head into these really difficult months. The water that comes from heaven is so much better, really, in many ways, than the water that we put down through our irrigation system. So
there's rain gauges. I'm on rainlog.org right now. There's rain gauges in McCormick Ranch showing over 4 inches year to date. Rio Verde over 7 inches year to date.
Woo!
Nice. And early on in the year, that's a good sign.
I mean,
because we have our annual rainfall is about 8 inches here in the Phoenix area. So when we've already got 4 inches in March, that's a good sign. That's excellent. I love that.
Yeah. I do too. I love it. The trees love it. The weeds love it. The roofers love it. Gutter installers love it.
Yeah, no, it's so good to have that seasonal rain. It is producing some serious weeds. If anybody's been out in your backyard and you're seeing those weeds, those of you who did your diligence in putting down your pre-emergent sprays are smiling today. Those who didn't, or those who don't generally apply pre-emergence, you know, you're going to have to do a little bit of extra work to get some of those weeds out. But now's the time. While the ground is nice and soft, those weeds come out a lot more easily than they do
Kids are home for the next 2 weeks, I'd say run to Ace Hardware, pick yourself up some hula hose.
Hula hose.
And, man, you've got the next couple weeks covered. Here's your field trip. It's in the yard.
Yeah, a little Huck Finn might work for you right now, too, and try to conscript a few workers to get out there and pay them a penny per weed. You know, do remember to wear gloves. You know, I've made the mistake of going out there and feeling, you know, energetic on a Saturday morning and grab that hula hoe, and I haven't had one in my hand for several months. And within about an hour, I've got some wicked blisters. So be sure you put those gloves on if you're not used to pulling that hula hoe. But yeah, we've got a crop of weeds. Oh my goodness.
We're also good. This water will put on a nice growth and for a lot of our trees, and could lead to maybe a little extra time doing some pruning and shaping work before we get into our summer months?
Yeah, well, this is really our prime time for doing a lot of pruning of our evergreen trees, especially. You know, we're kind of coming to the end of our prime time for trimming deciduous trees, although it's still, you know, early enough. We can prune deciduous trees really to the end of April. But that, you know, after then, you want to start reducing the dosage of pruning on those smooth bark trees and your evergreens. I mean, your deciduous trees. But evergreens, all of your eucalyptus, your mesquites, some of your desert trees, anything that holds its leaves all year long, this is your time to be pruning those. Most importantly, there's a window of time for pruning your citrus and your frost-sensitive trees, and that's starting about the 15th of February through till about the end of April. So if you want to do any pruning on those trees, a little more significant reduction on your citrus trees, now is the time to do that. You don't want to be doing any heavier pruning on citrus and more sun-sensitive plants in the middle of the summer. So you want to try to get that pruning done now. Also, if you want to do any renovation of your shrubs. Maybe some of you have been waiting to do a little bit of heavier pruning on your shrubs. Many of you prune your shrubs back after the frost damage has occurred. And there's some others of you who have some of those shrubs that are pruned in a geometric shape, and you would love to kind of get them back to their natural growth habit. This is the time to do that. Any kind of reduction pruning on those, and we do a lot of it this time of year, this is the time. You can cut those back to maybe a third or a half their height, and then thin out the remaining stems. You can also do some selective pruning in the tops of those globes, those geometric shapes, and try to blow some holes in that canopy to allow some sun to get inside. And there's several methods, but we recommend this being the time to do that, February, March, April, because, you know, any time after that, it's a little too difficult on the shrubs to do that kind of serious, what we call radical pruning or renovation pruning, where we're reducing the tops of those shrubs down significantly.
Join the conversation at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE4U. If you want to send a text, you can do so to 411-923. Or if you're like Jeff and you have a situation you need a little visual assistance, you can snap a picture and send it to info@rosieonthehouse.com. We'll address his Chilean mesquite problem here in a little bit. But we've got a tree of the month as well.
We do. Our tree of the month is one of my favorites. It's a Palo Blanco. The Palo Blanco was the botanical name. Used to be Acacia willardiana, but now it's Mario Sousa willardiana. Check that out. I mean, I don't know what happens. There are certain characteristics of the plants which, under a little deeper scrutiny by the academics, determines that it shouldn't be under one genus, it should be under another genus. And this has been happening with a lot of frequency, but I have the privilege today of introducing a guest that I have in studio who actually recommended this tree to me because she said it was one of her favorites. And I have the privilege today of introducing Janet Weibel. She's a landscape architect, and I'd like her to tell me a little bit, why do you like the Palo Blanco? What's the characteristics that made it one of your favorites?
Well, thank you, John. I like this tree because it fits in smaller spaces, and it's a very polite tree. It's got a soft canopy. It's very wispy, but it also provides the privacy in some of these spaces. Oftentimes, they're used along the sides of homes between properties, and they give you a little bit of privacy, some shade, and they stay smaller with very little maintenance.
They are very low maintenance. I love them too because of they have a delicate but a beautiful little bloom too as they get a little bit older. Mm-hmm. Pretty low litter for the most part.
Low litter. The roots are not intrusive. They won't bother your nearby walls or sidewalks, and they put a nice sheer curtain up there in the sky to shield second-story windows, and they just offer a nice soft canopy along your property or in corners. They look really well in masses, like groupings of three or five, because they're not a huge tree, but they provide a nice statement. They have a white papery bark that's really interesting. And then if you combine those with some understory plants, it makes a really nice composition in certain areas of your yards.
Yeah, they have an exfoliating bark that kind of gives some character and texture to the landscape as well. You can either pull it off and expose that beautiful white bark underneath, or you can leave it on if you like that little architectural variety.
Mm-hmm.
Really an interesting, unique plant. They're a little bit kind of like that unruly teenager when they're younger. So you have to be kind of patient to let it achieve its landscape purpose.
Right.
But once they get established in the landscape, there's nothing quite like them. They're a distinct, unique plant. And they've got a few on display at the Desert Botanical Garden. Mm-hmm. If you want to go out there and kind of check them out. What a great time of year to be getting out there before it gets too hot and walk some of those paths and ask around at the Botanical Garden to take a look at their Palo Blancos.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful trees. Speaking of which, you mentioned that they don't have roots that are invasive. One of my main reasons for bringing you into the studio this morning, Janet, was because I appreciate all the hard work you've done in writing this incredible textbook that the Arizona Landscape Contractors Association has used for the last 10 years. It's their basic curriculum for teaching their landscape contractors sustainable landscape management practices. And you being the author of that, you have brought together so many great ideas, best practices for marrying your landscape, your hardscape elements. And of course, as an arborist, I'm coming from the standpoint of the green parts of that landscape. But I've seen some of the work that you've done, and I just wanted you to talk a little bit about what are some of the challenges you face in designing landscapes and bringing plants into those landscapes, especially trees. You know, what are some of the challenges you face?
The biggest challenge we face is space. Is there adequate physical space to plant this tree? Many times the clients want large trees to start the project. And when you bring in a 36-inch box tree, you've got to make sure you have the physical space in the ground to put it. And then what are the adjoining surfaces or structures? And you've got to select plant materials that won't disturb those over time. As we know, 5-10 years goes by pretty fast, and all of a sudden your wall is lifting, your sidewalk's lifting, pipes are being intruded into, and it's like, oh my goodness, this was not the best choice of a tree.
So, and the tree's always the size that you've been wanting it to get exactly to, and the last thing you want to do is cut it down.
Well, exactly. It's a very difficult situation, to say the least. So we really like to study the plant materials and get to know what their characteristics are and what they're going to do in that 3, 5, or 10 years, and then make an informed decision as to, yep, that plant will work. It will do what it's intended to do.